Last year, about this time, Jane facilitated a create a memory of your future exercise. How many of you remember doing this and picking up your letters later? Some of you? Most of you? Many of you? So I just want to share a couple things about mine. Actually, I threw mine away after I read it. And I'm just wanting to check in with you guys, the folks that have done this. So that this exercise was about imagining a year from now, last year, a year at this time of the year, you're writing a letter of gratitude to celebrate the amazing blessings that have occurred throughout the year. What dreams have come true this year? How do you feel about having accomplished all of these goals? What wondrous surprises showed up in your path? Get into the feeling you would be experiencing if this dream actually manifested. Write about them in the past tense as if you were looking back on the actual events, and feel the deep gratitude that comes from feeling blessed. And so this was a letter to your higher self. Now, how many of you read your letter recently? And how many of you were really pleased with what happened, how it turned out? Really surprised that, wow, you were able to program your future. And how many of you were like really disappointed? Anybody else disappointed? Yeah, so I was disappointed. I want to share a little bit about my disappointment over this process. Now, we do this process because this is what Dr. Joe Dispenza teaches, his way of us programming our future self and really accessing a dimension of our capacity to draw into our life the very things that we're hopeful for. And so I just want to share a little bit about my letter to give you the reason why I was disappointed, why I just, as I looked at it, I just tossed in the garbage, and why my higher self had to coax me to go look for this and find it, because there was something I missed. And I want to share what I missed, because if anybody else was disappointed, I bet you missed something too. And I just want to check in to see if that's the case. So I'm talking about my goals, the things that I'm wanting to accomplish, and this time I'm supposed to realize that all this has happened. At least that's the setup. So I have seven new minister board client coaching clients, in addition to my established base. Well, I don't have seven new coaching clients. I actually have lost three of my coaching clients. So that you can imagine how that might be a disappointment for me, right? I'm so grateful for the recognition I've received in the Greater New Thought Movement for my mission-centric ministry program. That hasn't happened yet either. Jane and I are very excited about having paid off all of our credit card bills. It's a work in progress. We're so excited that we have enough cash now to pay for our new camper. We are spending our money on other things. So the point is that we find ourselves welcoming the opportunity to kind of reach for something that will give us a greater sense of knowing our well-being and worth by having events and experiences that confirm to us that we're worthy, we're valuable, we're here to make a difference. But sometimes, at least for me, what I've noticed, and as I reflect upon this, and as I'm in the question, well, why did my higher self want me to dig up this letter and reconnect with my disappointment? And so as I reflected back upon this, I saw there was a line here that I forgot to read. I missed something. Bless you. And it says, the very first sentence, I missed the very first sentence. I went directly to what was not affirming as opposed to what was affirming. Does anybody else do this sort of thing? So here's the first sentence. Oh my God, 2019 has been the most awesome year in my entire life. And guess what? That's the truth. 2019 was the most awesome year of my life, and then as I reflect upon that, how is it that I could relate to this as a reflection of my disappointment? It's only because I see a difference between the person, the Gary that wrote this, and the Gary that's reading this now. And I can feel a difference between the self that wrote this and the self that is hearing what's going on underline my year-old Gary self back then in December of 2018, I can sort of sense there was something going on that's behind what was being written down here. And that was a sense of not enough, a sense that my life was not working the way it needs to work, and here are some ways it can be fixed, it can be improved. I can enhance myself, and who doesn't want to go there? And I saw that as that was sort of my yesterday self, a year-old self's way of kind of dealing with my own anxiety about the future. I mean, it was shortly after this that we announced our retirement. And being thrown into the whole question, how do we support ourselves if we don't have the income from this job? And so as I saw from my older self's perspective, a kind of a struggle, a kind of effort to try to reconcile what was not happening that needed to happen in order for me to experience a greater experience of my own well-being, that I was seeing that my younger self was trying to get more in order to resolve some internal discomfort. Have you ever tried to get more to resolve some internal discomfort? Anyone ever? And when we are believing that we have to do something in the outer in order for something to shift within ourselves, in order for us to feel okay or better about ourselves, then it's no wonder we are finding ourselves in a constant struggle with how our life looks and feels. And so I saw as I reflected upon this that where I am right now, that Gary doesn't have the same kind of dimensional influence in my consciousness anymore. I'm no longer trying to get more in order to resolve my own internal anxiety with respect to how my life looks and feels. I've come to learn that it's not about getting more, it's about being more. And just take a moment to feel the difference between those two dynamics. I mean, just think about any struggle that you have in your life right now. And how that struggle kind of compels you to kind of be engaged in what's happening and how you're having your life. And you have to work with the forces that exist in relationship to that specific outer dynamic. But what if we shift out of that struggle of having to make the things in the outer behave and look in a way that feels as if our life is working, but recognize it doesn't have to change out there. It has to change in terms of how I'm being with what's happening. What if we can actually get to that place where that's the clarity of our vision for spiritual practice? It's not about the outer, it's about how we're being with whatever we're having. And so what do I mean by getting more instead of, what do I mean by being more rather than trying to get more? Well, I need to be more worthy. I need to be more present. I need to be more aware of spiritual principles at work in my life. I need to bring to my experience the beingness that is already hardwired to use whatever I'm having as if it's for me. It's just that that has been conditioned out of me, or it's eclipsed by the struggles that I'm having that are all associated with trying to resolve my internal discomfort by having some external change take place. And it just doesn't work that way. And until we come to terms with that, we will be not working with life in the context of our really understanding how it works so that we can transcend some of the limitations that are self-imposed upon us. My talk today is called The Unholy Trinity of Separation. And so what I'm wanting to propose is that the challenges, especially the struggles of our life, the lack in our life, the dynamic of having someone or something the matter with us in our life is a consequence of living in the belief that we're separate and apart from God. In other words, separation is the underlying issue, the sense of separation, that we're separate from each other. We're separate from the parts of ourself that are needing our love and compassion. The notion that we're dealing with dynamics in the world that demonstrate our separateness, but yet also demonstrate the unintended consequence of that. And as I mentioned last time I spoke, the author and philosopher Charles Eisenstein, who writes specifically about the story of separation and how until we allow the story of separation to just kind of fade away and reaffirm the story of our oneness, our interbeing, our interdependency, the web of life, we're not dealing with life as it really is. We're dealing with a superimposition of a virtual dimension of our conditioned separate self as being the context of what is real or not, as opposed to just being with life as it really is. And so, as I mentioned, the three struggles that are the unintended consequences, the habit of struggle, the habit of lack, the habit of judgment, we just have to look at our own personal life and see that these dynamics are things that we're caught up in. It's like we're caught up in the dynamics of the weather. There are conditions that happen to us, and if we're not aligned with working and understanding these conditions, we'll try to work against them instead of being able to receive their gift. So part of my dynamic of sharing this information is recognizing that we're at a new cycle, a beginning of the year. And if we can think of this year as a fresh way to start and think about what should be on our agenda if we were to look at our spiritual journey and see that we have to initiate it, we have to maintain it, we have to bring it forth, and each day we have to set it in front of us as being the context for how we're going to have our life. Would we not want to free ourselves from struggle? Would we not want to free ourselves from any sense of lack or limitation? Would we not want to free ourselves from inadvertently having someone or something against us? Well, we have to want to kind of be in the effort to address these conditions if we're to kind of transform our life. And so in the next three talks, I'm going to spend some time looking at each of these elements of the unintended consequences of separation. Struggle, for instance, which is what I'm going to be talking about today. Because what I have seen in this letter, as I look at how it is that I have gotten to a place where I am no longer believing that I need some external evidence to give me a sense of validation of my worth, I am experiencing what happens when I bring that awareness to whatever I'm having, especially in the context of struggle, lack, and judgment. And so if we can see that there is wisdom in wanting to be free of these things, bless you. And if we can see that, bless you again. And if we can see that these dynamics that we're all caught up in are the effects of living in the sense of separation and recognizing that that's illusion. And if we recognize that the illusion is what is keeping us trapped in the programming that we've inherited by virtue of living in this world that is not able to mirror back to us our own divinity, our own worth, if we can recognize that this is the source of our discomfort, our sense of living separate and apart as opposed to what's happening in the outer, then we focus our attention on this internal rift, this internal separation, and let go of needing to work with the outer conditions, except in the context of recognizing that whatever we have, regardless of how it looks or feels, is our abundance. And we'll get to that the next time I talk. But for now, let's look at the dynamic of struggle. And I love this graphic because it really says what it's really about. And it's a dynamic of our head and heart kind of being in opposite ends of struggling with whatever is happening. And our mind is focused on and oriented on what's happening in the outer, and our heart is focused on the multidimensional, infinite spaciousness of the field of infinite possibilities. It's connected to that. And if we don't access that dimension of ourself, our intellect, our conditioned mind, and the way our brains are conditioned will continually be on the lookout outside of ourself for threats rather than continually being on the lookout inside for opportunities and possibilities. And so as we get into this effort to really recognize that our struggles are self-imposed, we make our life harder than it is. And we need to see how we do that if we're to kind of extricate ourselves from the dynamics that make our life harder than it really is. Now, how many of you know, and be honest with yourself, know that you make your life harder than it really is? Okay. So that's the first step in treatment, right? Acknowledging that you have a problem. I make my life harder than it really is. Okay, why are you doing that? Okay, take the cue process to answer that question. But for now, let's just say that to stop doing that, let's get right at that. To stop doing that, we have to do stuff that works in the very experience of struggle, but in a different way. Not struggling with the situation, but to struggle with our struggle. And what's up with that? So that's where we need to go. Here we go. We'll end with this. Okay. So the first step is that we have to notice that we're struggling. So when you move into struggle, when you try to control, when you need things to be a certain way, or you need to be right. And so those are the normal things that we do all the time, but we need to know, okay, I'm in struggle when those things are happening. And that's the point of needing to wake up. Then you need to be in the inquiry. What am I feeling? And to become aware that my struggle or my anxiousness is to try to make things happen. And these are all symptomatic of me being in a struggle. I have to use those dynamics, my feelings, what's happening in the outer, as evidence that, oh, I'm in struggle now. Now I have to wake up. I have to do something different than my conditioned training. So the first step is to feel the discomfort without judgment or without commentary. Because typically, instead of feeling our feeling, we make up a story about what's happening in the experience instead of actually feel the anxiety, feel the frustration, feel the disappointment, feel what's not happening and what that's connected to. And then to have compassion for ourselves, to really be present to ourselves, especially the younger version of ourselves where those feelings originate, and to really recognize that from time to time we inadvertently make our life harder. And so you can't beat yourself up because you're conditioned to do that, but you have to recognize that you're conditioned to do that, so now you have to love yourself into a different behavior. And then the next thing is to become heart-centered and activate the felt sense of a connection to a larger presence. And asking ourselves, what might be the reality of oneness? What might the reality of oneness feel like? If I could meditate on being one with everybody, everyone, everything, everywhere, and any time. Feeling a connection to this sense of oneness, a dimension that includes me but also includes everyone. So I don't feel apart from anyone, the environment, the universe, my higher self. It's all one field of different variations. That's the key. The key is to feel it. Let's see. I'll share a quick story from taking Tai Chi. So I'm taking Tai Chi, and I have the privilege of taking it with a seventh generation Tai Chi master, Master Steve Wong. And I'm 2 years in his program, and I have 40 years in hardstyle martial arts, so I have to unlearn a lot. And so the biggest part of my unlearning is using my body, my muscles, for generation of power or strength. And in the internal martial arts, the power doesn't come from your body. It comes from chi. It comes from energy. And so he's trying to teach us in the class how to channel the chi through the breath. And then channel it from the bottom of the heel here through the dantian, the middle dantian, out the arms and through the fingertips. So as you breathe in, the energy comes in this way. As you exhale, it goes out. And so he's demonstrating this, and I asked the question. I said, Master Steve, what do I need to be visualizing so I can get a greater felt sense of this experience? He said, no, visualize. Feel. Feel. And so basically, he's basically saying, you just get in this posture, and then he says, it's real. You have to feel it. You can't pretend to make up. So there is a sensation here, but in the beginning, you can't feel it because you don't have the neural architecture of sensitivity yet. You don't have a quality of internal observation that enables you to have that sense, but it's still there. But because of Dr. Joe's meditation, you know, where he teaches and trains us to be able to become aware of energy in space as opposed to in objects. And so it was easy for me to be able to begin to kind of connect up and actually feel the chi expressing within each breath, because I was able to get past the physical dimension of the dynamic and instead focus on the internal process. And focusing on the feeling of what does it feel like to be connected? What does it feel like to be connected to your own sense of well-being and worth? And in the beginning, you won't know how that feels only because you haven't been in the sensing of it. You have to sense it. And eventually, you'll notice something. And as you begin to build upon that noticing, it'll become more apparent to you that there's definitely stuff going on that we can cultivate, that we can activate, that we can build upon. Number four is become aware of this larger presence as the oneness. And so we begin to build a feeling of what it feels like to be connected to the all of life. What does it feel like to be connected to source, to the presence? And then we have to bring our awareness to the greater reality of this felt sense of oneness and presence, because it dissolves the sense of separation. You cannot go back to your smaller self once you've connected to the field of infinite possibilities. I mean, you'll get there. It'll wear off. But the point is that you can call this up. You can live in the awareness of it and bring it to any situation or struggle that you're having. Because when you're with whatever you're having that looks and feels against you, you feel separate. You feel small. You feel diminished. But when you connect up to the field and know that the entire universe is for you and that there's an intelligence within that universe that guides and directs the activities of spirit, we can let it come to us. We can let it go and come to us. Next is focus on being easy on yourself and others when you run into obstacles or disruptions. Notice that your mind wants to fret. Gently shift your awareness back to the sense of being connected to the larger whole into which you can let go and let God. We have to focus on being easy because we're conditioned to be hard. We're conditioned to resist. We're conditioned to control. We're conditioned to have things be a certain way. So we have to recondition ourselves to be easy, to be gentle, to be kind. And especially in the context of struggle, we have to do so with respect to ourselves. So I just one little quick example of the struggle. One of the struggles that we've had is with our moving towards developing our property in Kettle Falls. And we have a tiny home now there. We built a shop. We brought electricity. We've done all of these things in the last 6 months. Nothing in my letter foresaw that. Nothing in my letter foresaw that. But everything that has happened has happened because Jane and I have put into principle these very things that we're talking about. That when we run into an obstacle, we just release it and connect up and just know that whatever we need to do, we'd be guided. And there was stuff to do. There was always something to do. But we could do it out of a sense that we were being guided. So it's the next step that our higher self wants us to take. And sure enough, after every obstacle, when we would do this, we would repeat what could be described as a formula, the process in which we could find ourselves opening to the dynamic of presence, knowing that presence has our back, and every obstacle worked itself out in such extraordinary ways. Finally, I'll close with, don't take anxious thought or action. You probably heard that from some way-shower, some biblical figure called Jesus. You know, take no thought for your life. Take no thought. You do not have to take a single thought about your well-being in the context of what's happening out there. The context of our well-being lives in the context of our owning the truth of who we are and living that truth in the context of how we're having our life. So if you're not taking anxious thought or action, rather connect up to your heart, ask for guidance for all matters that would otherwise disturb your equanimity. So that's all I have. God bless you.